The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Sonia Yusech-Kuhn of the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month, we will introduce you to people in the community who are making a difference. My guest today is Blake Matthews. Welcome, Blake Matthews. We are delighted that you can join us to provide and share information about COVID-19 and an update on this pandemic that has affected so many of the world's people. Today, we will focus on facts right here in North Carolina. Let me introduce Blake. 24-year-old Blake Matthews grew up in the small town of Cornelius, North Carolina, the son of parents who are in the field of medicine. As a youth, he played baseball, basketball, soccer, tennis, and golf. Blake is a type 1 diabetic. He took a strong interest in the sciences and healthcare. He knew at a young age that he wanted to work closely with people to improve their life situations and overall health and wellness. Blake graduated from the Gilling School of Global Public Health at UNC Chapel in 2020 with a degree in public health and a focus on environmental health science. His favorite memory from his undergraduate career was the national championship in men's basketball during his first year in 2017. Graduating with a global pandemic just beginning and with a degree in public health, Blake wanted to utilize his education and experience to increase health equity among vulnerable populations. He served a year with AmeriCorps on the Coronavirus Task Force in Billings, Montana, where he was surrounded by nature and worked closely with low-income individuals. He gathered community feedback, conducted a citywide coronavirus report, and mobilized resources for impoverished individuals. He also helped to increase access to COVID-19 vaccines, established public sanitation stations within the city, and increased funding for food delivery programs for those in need. He returned to North Carolina to give back to the area that had given him so much. Blake now works with the Triangle J Area Agency on Aging as the COVID-19 Outreach Coordinator in 7 counties with a focus on partnerships within the community. As the COVID-19 Outreach Coordinator at TJAAA, Blake works to bring education of the ongoing pandemic and increase the access to COVID-19 vaccines in the community. His focus populations include elderly adults and their caregivers and individuals who are homebound. Blake's efforts come in many different forms. He has partnered with faith-based organizations to facilitate educational COVID-101 presentations, worked with home meal delivery programs to provide information to homebound folks, partnered with health providers and health fairs to provide vaccines, and connected with and provided grants to organizations to conduct small-scale COVID-19 vaccine outreach initiatives on their own. In all, Blake is a resource at the Triangle J Area Agency on Aging for individuals who would like to have more information about COVID-19 or need assistance in any way to find and or receive a COVID-19 vaccination. Blake often reads a couple of books at a time, mixing fiction and nonfiction. Among his favorites, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. He stays active by running on North Carolina's Tobacco Trail and maintains his love of sports with friends. Travels a large part of his life, having visited 45 of our 50 states and having been to more than 25 different countries. Let's start chatting with the well-rounded man. Welcome, Blake.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me today.
You're most welcome when we're interested in speaking to you. But first, let me ask you, so how many hoops did you shoot in that championship game?
I definitely like to save the playing for the professionals, but I can guarantee you I was one of the loudest ones cheering at my university that day. And it's going to forever be one of my fondest moments of my undergraduate career, and I'll definitely remember it forever.
Well, it sounds like a worthwhile thing to remember. Okay, so now let's get a little bit more serious and talk about what influenced you and why you chose this field of work.
Right. Well, like you said, I grew up with parents who are both medical professionals. You know, my father is a emergency medicine physician. My mother is a physician assistant. So I was constantly surrounded by science and medicine growing up. I remember sitting at dinner tables and listening to their talks of what they experienced in their day and being just so interested to hear more. I'm also a type 1 diabetic, so I was diagnosed at an early age when I was 10 years old. So I think this really generated in me a strong interest in the field of health, of health behavior. I began to get really involved with my church to support those who were underserved. I would volunteer for things like food drives, free medical clinics, and Habitat for Humanity, and really was geared towards this field of helping those who may not have enough and may need the help. So attending my college at UNC Chapel Hill, I decided to study public health. I think this really fit my interest, and I wanted to work in a field that I could strongly connect to my community members and advocate for health equity. And so also graduating on the onset of a global pandemic, I thought this was a real calling for me.
Well, it sounds like you were pretty young when you started volunteering. How old were you when you were laying the groundwork, what would follow after graduation?
This happened really in junior high. I started when I was, you know, maybe sixth grade or seventh grade, getting heavily involved with my church and youth group and doing a lot of these volunteer type events.
Commendable. Absolutely commendable. So let's get back to the classroom. Following graduation, when the pandemic started to take hold here and around the world, you served with AmeriCorps in Montana. What brought you to that decision?
Well, I think I ultimately chose to choose AmeriCorps because of their mission. You know, this was an organization much like the Peace Corps, but domestic, where they would provide disaster response, work to increase the capacity of our communities to generate a meaningful change on their own terms. And they work to alleviate poverty. And so I think they had a lot of available options to get involved in the pandemic, and it really closely aligned with my career aspirations.
And can you describe some of the work you actually did there, like a day? What happened in a day?
Sure. Well, I think my work changed as the days went on. In the beginning, I focused really on gathering this community feedback regarding the effects that were happening because of the pandemic, or even the effects of the pandemic that had already, you know, maybe been there but were increased due to the pandemic. So I worked really closely with people to gather community feedback regarding these, and I focused on those that were hit hardest. So the low-income community members, seniors, and minority communities, and you know, distributing the survey and capturing the voices of these people, I was able to understand the gaps in service that were present and analyze the data and then present my findings to the community and to policymakers so that they could utilize the funding that they received through the federal government, about $1 million in funding, to then put that money towards something that was relevant and meaningful for the community. But as the days progressed, we got a vaccine, right? A vaccine came out, and so a lot of my focus switched to this, and I worked with so many different organizations to really facilitate and coordinate these vaccination clinics. And I focused my efforts really on this low-income community to give them access and have it be available for them to get the vaccine.
Well, that sounds impressive, and I see that how it led you to what you're doing today.
Right.
You said $1 million. Was that just for Montana?
That was for the city of Billings, Montana. So Montana, I guess each city got different amounts of funding depending on population base and need base.
And AmeriCorps sounds like it's throughout the United States.
It
so is. Was funding available to, let's say, Chicago?
Definitely, yeah. So this is CARES Act funding. So it was in the beginning, the federal government issued this funding for CARES Act, which is the coronavirus aid response and economic security for coronavirus spending. So you would apply as a city. So I've been working in government for the last couple of years, and so you would apply as a city to receive this block grant of funds to then spend on initiatives geared towards coronavirus relief and aid and response.
Okay, so you just mentioned that you've been working with the government for a while now. So if you could explain to our listeners a little bit about Triangle Council of Governments. What is that, and how does it affect the population?
Well, the Triangle Council of Governments is really a local government in itself, and it's also a member organization for other local governments to join. And so we're based out of Durham, North Carolina, and we serve seven different counties. It's called the Region J area of North Carolina, hence the Triangle J. And so the Region J area consists of the counties of Durham, Chatham, Johnston, Lee, Moore, Orange, and Wake. So it's seven different counties, or about 2 million people. And then the Triangle J has exactly 46 local governments who are members of our organization, and we really work with them to provide services depending on their needs. So we have all kinds of focus areas from housing to transportation, community and economic development, environment and resilience, and then aging, which is where I work, to focus our efforts on different large-scale projects within the region. And just a little background on the Triangle J Area Agency on Aging, where I'm working. So our focus area for this part of the TJCOG, for the Triangle J Council of Governments, we work to help our aging adults or their caregivers and adults living with disabilities to really live in their home and their community at the highest level of independence and dignity possible. And an example of kind of what I do is one of the roles as COVID outreach coordinators, I focus on our homebound populations. So I work with different providers and different on-the-ground physician groups to get vaccines to homebound populations in the comfort of their own home.
I see. So they had to create this COVID part of housing and aging, mm-hmm. Right? So, and you landed that position.
That's correct. Yeah, so they created it last year, and I joined earlier in September of 2021.
Okay. Well, I usually have a standard three-part question. So question number one, in your role as COVID-19 outreach coordinator, which counties and community agencies have you worked with? I think you mentioned the counties, but just mm-hmm. repeat them and tell us some of the agencies that you worked with.
Sure. Yeah. So, like I mentioned earlier, it's a big area, right? We cover seven different counties. Those counties are Durham, Chatham, Johnston, Lee, Moore, Orange, and Wake County. And so, personally, since I've been working here, I've worked with just a very large number of community agencies and faith-based organizations and local governments in this region of those seven counties. Really, what's been so effective and great for me is these interorganizational partnerships. So having the ability to partner with several organizations at a time to come together for a common cause being, you know, getting vaccines and information out about COVID to the same population. It's important here because these small-scale partnerships really help to reach that population, that target population that might need more help. So the populations that I focus on are that homebound elderly adults and their caregivers, as well as giving priority to those who have been most affected. So our adults and children, everyone who may be disabled, maybe they speak limited English at home or have limited internet access, or also just including our minority communities. So as we've seen in the pandemic, all these groups that I just mentioned have had higher rates of COVID hospitalizations and deaths. So being able to partner with these organizations that can reach them has been so paramount to success in my work. Some of them that I've worked with are those who do home meal delivery programs. So like our Meals on Wheels programs.
Meals on Wheels, yes.
Yeah, so okay. I've worked with every Meals on Wheels throughout all those seven counties. I've worked with the Interfaith Food Shuttle down here in Raleigh. And it's been amazing because they've been able to utilize the resources I have, the information on how to get an at-home vaccine or mask, how to use your mask properly or information on booster doses and whatnot, and then pair that in conjunction with what they're already doing of delivering home meals to those folks that are homebound. And then I've also worked with a lot of on-the-ground medical provider groups. These have been really great because they're able to, go out in the community and deliver vaccines to people that need them. And I've also partnered with a plethora of community organizations and faith-based organizations. You spoke earlier on my introduction about how I've organized some COVID 101 presentations. And really, this is just an educational presentation that also serves more of a conversation where individuals can hear about the updated situation of the pandemic, but also ask questions with a trusted medical provider and ask questions and get answers to some of their questions in a time when so much changes and there's a lot of questions to be asked, right? Specifically right now, I'm working with an organization out of APEX, the Western Wake Crisis Ministry, as well as Fiesta Christiana, and we are working to provide resources and food to Latinx families while also including some of the stuff I can offer of including some COVID-19 tests or including information and education on COVID-19 and vaccinations.
Do you speak another language?
I am a beginner in Spanish. Yeah,
okay.
I stay behind the scenes when I am asked to speak Spanish.
So those organizations, besides the one you just mentioned, mm-hmm. the Latina, can you mention one of the faith-based ones? Or
Yeah. So I've been in the past. I've worked with the Fiesta Christiana is the one I talked about just a second ago.
Yes.
In Durham, the new home in Durham Baptist Association. So they are a faith-based organization out of Durham, and serve kind of a conglomerate of different churches. And I've worked with them in the past to facilitate this educational webinar, or more so of a conversation. I don't like calling it a webinar. About COVID-19 and just update community members on the current situation, and then also give a space for them to ask questions and get some answers to some of their questions.
So I think that you touched on part three of my three-part question about the benefits of partnering.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, there's great benefit because people do go to church and
right.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're very trusted members of the society, And it's important. I think I've learned to work with people who are trusted in your community. Right? You don't really want to listen to somebody that you might not know. And it's been so powerful to work with these faith-based organizations and community organizations who have a very strong connection to the community they're already working with. Well, there's been one other program that we've been running now for like the past 3 months, and it's been this mini grant program that we have given out funding to for organizations to conduct their own outreach and vaccination programs. And they've been doing things like door-to-door outreach. They've been running educational ads in local newspapers and on radios, and also just delivering vaccines to those who are homebound. And in the past 3 months, we've given out funds to 11 different organizations. They've reached over 225,000 people and
helped a lot of people.
Yeah, and helped vaccinate over 500. So it's just so...
It's wonderful.
Right. It's just so incredible to see this amount of work in your community and having these partnerships and seeing them flourish.
Well, I have to say that with all the technology, and there's a lot of technology, there's nothing warmer than the human touch. And as you mentioned, you know, working with people who you know, and people who are trusted in the community makes a difference, because I imagine that's how you get people to come and listen and get their vaccinations.
Right, right. And I think it's important to note, you know, I'm not here to force anyone to get their vaccination.
Right.
I'm here to generate that conversation. You know, I want to work with someone to recognize, you know, the health and safety issues that come with COVID, and then understand the benefits of a vaccination. And then with that, I want them to be able to make their own, you know, educated decision on whether or not they would like to receive a vaccine. And so I think it's important to note that there's this difference of establishing that trust and establishing that mentality where you just want to open up a conversation with someone and listen to their story.
You mentioned the people that you work with. This is the disabled person, whether they're adult or whether they're children. You also mentioned the caregiver. That's usually a person who's forgotten.
Right.
That's the person who runs and does and takes care and makes sure everything's... Just give me, a bullet's eye about the caregiver.
The caregiver is so important, and especially with this pandemic. You know, there's been a lot of individuals who may have never been a caregiver before, whether that be family members or friends or someone like that, and they are in the essence of safety and regards to the individual they're taking care of. You know, they're with them every day, and so serving their, you know, those who may be disabled and or elderly adults and their caregivers is so important, because they're one of the same. You know, they're together all the time. They're sharing meals, and it's really important to help them as much as you can to really, you know, help anyone else that is vulnerable that they may be working with.
Thanks for a good word to the caregiver.
Of course,
caregiver.
Yes, very important.
Okay, so we're dwindling down in time, but I still have time to ask you, what kind of challenges are you facing since the pandemic is still an ongoing event?
Well, I think, you know, even with that question, you speak to the fact that it's a ongoing situation. It's a constantly changing situation. So one moment we may think we have it all under control, right? Cases go down and we lift mask mandates and we all feel comfortable. And then the next moment, a new variant arises and all of a sudden cases start rising, and we see more individuals getting sick and going to the hospital. So with such a dynamic situation, people often have questions, and they're always going to have questions. And I think it's difficult for me. A challenge I face is that sometimes I don't have all the answers to the questions. Mm-hmm. And I like to stick with what I do know, right? I do know that, you know, sadly, COVID-19 has taken the lives of over 21,000 people in North Carolina. And I know that these vaccines that we have save lives. I know that they've been built off of decades of research, that they were well developed and tested, that they really keep the worst of the unknowns of COVID away from you and your family. And so even with the constantly changing situation of the pandemic, I think sticking with what I know and knowing that vaccines save lives, I just always want to really encourage, you know, to get that extra layer of protection and get that known safety from getting a vaccine. So I always encourage people to get a vaccine and stay up to date on their vaccines.
Are they giving you a tough time? No, I don't trust it. I don't want it. I don't want to be jabbed. I don't like blood.
Oh, of course. There are many conversations I have that aren't pleasant, right?
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's another challenge I face, really, is just remaining patient, remaining open to conversation. And I think really with my work, I knew coming into this that this wasn't going to be a quick fix, right? I knew coming into this that I'll be here for the long run. And so, you know, I won't give up on you. And I think people like me and public health, you know, officials aren't going to give up on you. And we're going to be here to help you get over that barrier that you may have to get the help you need and get the vaccine. You know, just the other week, I worked with Southeastern Wake Adult Day Center, and they helped me vaccinate an elderly individual living with dementia. And so it's just these little things that really make my work all worth the while. One vaccine, one chance to save a life and prevent serious illness gets just an immense celebration from myself.
Well, it's good to hear you say that. So along that vein, what is your message? What can you convey to all of our listeners in North Carolina and beyond from your position?
Yeah, well, I just kind of spoke about it, right, that I want people to understand that people are going to be here for you and people are going to be working for you, and we're not going to stop. So whatever information you might need or whatever barriers are in front of you, we're going to work with you to overcome those or at least get you trusted information so that you feel comfortable in making your own personal health decisions. You know, we touched on it earlier. I want people to understand that this is here for the long run. While there's a lot that we don't know, we're still learning, and we do know that, you know, vaccines save lives. We know that unvaccinated individuals who have never had COVID before, it's just as deadly as it was in the beginning. I really just want to give that message of everyone to get their vaccine and stay up to date.
Just final thought. A combination of perseverance, fortitude, and passion seem to be the ingredients of successful people. Personal thoughts?
My personal thoughts on that is I think that the pandemic has shown us that perseverance and adapting to new situations have been just paramount as success for success for individuals. You know, we've effectively learned to live with this and face the adversities that it has brought. But I also think that, you know, these qualities are important for society as a whole to really embrace. I think if we look at what the pandemic has brought out, it's brought out some good things, too. You know, it's shown us that we have shown compassion for those who may be struggling. We've shown that organizations have come together to work together to lift up those struggling and those facing adversities the most. I think those qualities not only make a successful person, but when truly embraced by a community, they generate a successful society. And so I hope that we just remember, you know, we're not alone in this. And if we keep working together and fostering those qualities as a community, we're going to get through this.
Well, Blake Matthews, you are an inspiration. Thank you so much for enlightening us today on what you do and what's available to the people of North Carolina.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
We've run out of time for this month's episode of Community Connections. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. I'm Sonia Yusech-Kuhn for the North Carolina Reading Service. Community Connections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments, questions, or would like to be a sponsor of Community Connections, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to North Carolina Reading Service.